right, good morning, auditorium class. It's so good to see you today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. The auditorium class is working through this book for the next several weeks. We are in 1 John chapter 1 this morning. I hope you will pray for the Weavers today. Dr. Weaver is out at a church in Weatherford wrapping up a missions emphasis month. So you pray for him as he preaches that God would use him there in Weatherford. How many of you have enjoyed the chilly weather this last week? Have you enjoyed that? I love the chilly weather. It is a welcome relief from all the heat we get around here. And by the time the tail part of October, first part of November gets here, I'm always ready for things to cool down a bit. We even lit a fire in our fireplace the last two evenings, and that was very refreshing. And so we've enjoyed the chilly weather. It really has been a great week. The title of this morning's lesson is God is Light. You're going to see here in just a moment that comes right out of 1 John chapter 1. The emphasis is not only on the God who is light, the emphasis is for us as believers to walk in the light of God. I'm glad that God provides us the light we need for our daily walk. He gives us the direction and the guidance we need to live the Christian life. Never forget that the Christian life is a journey from earth to glory. And it's the light of God that enables us to make that journey victoriously. So let's look at 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 7 to begin. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Notice the expression in verse 5, God is light. Now to illustrate this aspect of God's character, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, if you will. Remember, John is the author of both the first epistle of John and the book of Revelation. And he's going to give us quite a commentary on the light of God. And this is a beautiful, wonderful chapter, a chapter that ought to infuse hope to you wherever you are today. Look at Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read several verses here, verses 9 through 23. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and use your imagination here. And had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. Can you imagine that, ladies? Foundations of sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysoprase. The eleventh, a jacinth. And the twelfth, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I hope as we were reading that passage, you imagine in your mind a picture of that beautiful New Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a place where all of us as God's people are going to dwell one day. And we imagine the gates of pearl. We imagine the foundations made out of precious stone. We imagine the streets of solid gold, so pure that it's like glass. What a beautiful, beautiful place. But ladies and gentlemen, without any light, you couldn't see the gates of pearl. Without any light, you couldn't see the streets of gold. Without any light, you couldn't see the foundations of the city of heaven. Without any light, if the city was in darkness, no one could enjoy or appreciate the beauty of that place. Ladies and gentlemen, who's the light of that place? God is the light of that place. He's the one that makes the gold so beautiful. He's the one that makes the pearls so white. He's the one that makes the foundations so sparkling. It's the light that brings guidance. It's the light that brings revelation. It's the light that makes that city what it is. In the same way, our lives, are like that city. Having fellowship with God, having a relationship with God brings light unto our lives. Without God, everything's darkness, isn't it? Now, what does light do for us? Well, light both cheers and it reveals. It cheers and it reveals. If you've ever been alone in a dark, damp place, you know how the light cheered you up. You know, you don't have to be a kid to be scared of the dark. You ever been somewhere and you sure wish, man, I wish somebody would turn the light on. I've been walking several times down the streets of downtown Fort Worth on Lancaster Avenue picking up people for Fort Worth, and I was wishing there was a little more light on that street, okay? Ever been in a situation like that? When somebody turned a light on or I got under a street light, I felt a whole lot better about the thing. It cheered me up. Can you remember being lost this morning? Blinded in sin, in darkness, and all alone, but then you met the light. Then the Lord Jesus came into your life, and oh, what joy the presence of God brought with you. Light not only cheers, light reveals. You know, it's dangerous to walk in darkness, isn't it? It's dangerous. Tori and I recently moved. We had lived in the same house for almost 10 years. And so I had the floor plan of that house memorized. I could walk around in the middle of the night with no problem, knew where most of the furniture was, knew where Will liked to keep his Legos. I knew which parts of the house I needed to avoid. You ever stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night with your bare foot? There are very few forms of torture worse than that. I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, now we're in this new house, and the layout is all different, and the furniture is all different, and everything is different. So several times over the last 3 or 4 months as we've been there, I've tried to walk around in the dark, and it has been hazardous. And so we've started leaving a lot of light on, leaving a lot of lamps on, because we've been bumping into everything, hitting our knees, stubbing our toes. Walking in the dark is dangerous. It's dangerous. I remember when I was in college, I lived on the campus of a Christian camp. That's where the guys' dorm was at our particular college. And there were several different dormitory buildings on the campus. One year, I lived at the bottom of a mountain at a big dorm called the Lodge. It's where most of the guys on that camp were kept, hundreds of guys in that one place. It was an old converted horse barn. Well, there was up on the top of the hill a beautiful mansion-like home. We called that the big house. And if you got really lucky, you got placed in the big house. It had been used as a parsonage before. It was two stories, immaculately apportioned, just a beautiful, beautiful home. Well, all the guys in the lodge were a little bit jealous. We had to live in a horse barn while the other guys got to live in a mansion. So we made it our business every once in a while to run up there and pull a few practical jokes to remind them that they weren't as big as they thought they were. And I forget one Tennessee evening, the smoke from the Smoky Mountains was thick. It was foggy. There wasn't much moonlight out, weren't many stars. It was dark outside. And a few of us had run up to the dorm that evening, the big house, to pull a few practical jokes. I can't remember what we did, something small. Well, while we were in the big house, we got discovered. They figured out we were there, and they were coming after us. So we lit down that hill in the thick darkness. In between the lodge and the big house was the tabernacle. And that's where they would have Christian camp services. And the tabernacle didn't have any walls on it, a big metal roof, but it had in between some of those big metal beams some metal wires used for stability when the wind would blow. And one of my buddies named Andy came tearing down that hill, sprinting as fast as he could, so none of those guys in the big house would catch him. It was dark. He did not see the wires, and he ran face first into the wires at the tabernacle. Almost sliced his nose off. I've never seen anything like that in all my life. It was a vivid object lesson to me of 1 John chapter 1. It is dangerous to walk in the darkness. It's dangerous. So light reveals. Light brings revelation. Light shows us and gives us the guidance and direction we need for our life so we're not stumbling about as blind people groping in the darkness. Now in 1 John chapter 1, John mentions three things about the God who is light. What does the fact that God in his very essence is light, what does that do for us as his followers? Well, John notices number one, the message we have heard of him. Notice number one, the message we have heard of him. That's what it says in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. He says also in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you. If you remember last week, Dr. Weaver taught us primarily about the first three verses of chapter 1. And he talked about John the Apostle's personal experience with Christ. He says, that which we have seen and heard, which our hands have handled of the word of life. In other words, we heard him with our own ears. We touched him with our own hands. We've had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. You know how blessed those apostles were to know the Lord Jesus in that personal and intimate way. And John says, because I've heard a message, because I've touched Jesus, because I've been around him, because I have experienced him personally, I now have a responsibility to declare him. I've heard the message, now I have to give it to someone else. And ladies and gentlemen, I've never touched him with my fingers. I've never heard him speak with my ears, but I'm here to report to you today that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I have experienced him in my life. And each and every one of us that have heard this saving message have a responsibility to declare that message to other people. That's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the deacons. Not just for the staff members. If you've experienced Jesus Christ, if you've heard the message, you have a responsibility to declare it. Now, what is this message that John says we've heard? Well, he says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John is showing us that those who have been in the light, those who've had the light of the gospel, the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ come into their lives, have the responsibility to carry that light to those who are in darkness. That's exactly what John is doing here. He's writing a letter so people in darkness can be in the light. I think there's a vivid object lesson of this truth that happens here at Worth Baptist Church every September. It's one of my favorite services. We call it the candlelight service. How many of you have ever been here for a candlelight service during our mission conference? Isn't that a powerful service? We've been doing that for years and years and years now. We'll get to the end of the service. The missionaries will have opened up all their gifts as we celebrate Christmas in September. And then they'll turn the lights out in the auditorium. Always a disconcerting moment for all of the young children in the room, right? You hear the gasp. And all the teenagers are over there loving it. And I always made sure when I was a youth pastor, I was going to sit over there when the lights went out. Because I didn't want anybody holding hands during the service, you know. They'll turn the lights out. And that darkness that penetrates the room that day, and we'll cover all the windows, we want it pitch black in here. That darkness that penetrates the room is a picture of being lost and without Christ. It's a picture of the world that lives in darkness. I just want to remind you folks, there are now 7.5 billion people in our world, and 6.5 billion of them live in darkness. Most of the world is in darkness today. And as all the lights go out, it pictures that darkness. And Pastor Weaver or I will ask, who would carry the light for Worth Baptist Church to the country of South Africa? Who would carry the light for Worth Baptist Church to the country of Guatemala? Who would carry the light of Worth Baptist Church to some place in darkness? And you know what that missionary does? That missionary stands up and turns on his light and goes over there by himself and stands one light in the midst of darkness. And my favorite part of the entire service is when we ask, how many of you would commit to praying for this dear missionary from South Africa? And about a third of our congregation will stand to their feet. And you know what they get to do, don't you? They get to turn on their light. Ladies and gentlemen, those of us who have experienced the light, those of us who live in the light, have a responsibility to carry the light. We who have heard the message have the responsibility to declare the message. Now, how did that light come into our lives? How did we get that revelation about God and the gospel? Turn with me to John chapter 1, if you will. John chapter 1. How did we hear that message? How does God reveal himself to us? How does a person living in darkness get the light? Look at John chapter 1. Of course, John is the author of the book of John. Here's what he writes. Look at verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, a title for the Lord Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, when you got Jesus, and when you got his life, you got light. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He came into a dark world, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist is who this is talking about. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. I want you to notice this phrase, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John is saying here, Jesus is the true light. He's the one that gives the revelation of God to us. He's the one that shows us the way to God. And it says here that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Light reveals. What does it mean that the light has lighted every man in the world? Well, it means that God has revealed something to man. Every man knows, I believe, that there is a God. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that's born into this world knows that there's a God. And there are two witnesses that speak to us. There are two witnesses that give us light about the character of God. The first of those witnesses is the witness of creation. Romans chapter 1 talks about that witness. That every single person that's born into this world knows that this world of order and beauty must have been created by a God of order and beauty. Every man sees the witness of creation. The witness that John refers to here, the light that lights every man, is the witness of conscience. So there's an outward witness, creation, but there's also an inward witness, conscience. Deep down within my heart, I know that because there are certain things true about me and the way I see the world, that there's a right and that there's a wrong. I know that there is a God. It's an inward witness. There's conscience. One writer described it this way. He said, no matter where you go in the world where people are running buses and someone is sitting down in a seat on a bus, if you pick that person up from their seat where they're sitting and you sit in their seat, I don't care what language they speak, I don't care where they live, they're going to know that's wrong, aren't they? They're going to know that you took their seat, that that belonged to them, and that you've done them harm. Now, it may not be against the law of the land. It may not even be immoral to the people that are on that bus. But deep within your heart, you know when someone takes something that does not belong to them but belongs to you, you know that's wrong, don't you? It's violated something deeper than the law of the United States or the law of the country or even the mores of the society in which you live. It's violated the law of your heart. Let me ask you a question. If there is a law written on our hearts, doesn't that mean there's a lawgiver? Sure it does. If in all of our lives we see some measure of right and wrong, of good and bad, of light and darkness, doesn't that mean that there's a God who set the standard somewhere? Sure it does. Well, that's exactly what John is talking about. Jesus is the true light. He's the lawgiver. He's the good. He's the ultimate standard. He's the light. And he's lighted every man that comes into the world, given every man a conscience, so that every man through their conscience can at least know that there's a God. Now listen to me today. That light is enough to damn a man. It's enough to condemn a man. That's what Romans chapter 1 says. We're inexcusable. That light is enough to condemn a man, but it's not enough to save a man. If a person is going to get saved, they need more light than creation. They need more light than conscience. So turn with me over to John chapter 8, if you will. Look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God has sent a better witness into this world than the witness of creation or the witness of conscience. He sent Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the fullest and the finest and the final revelation of God to man. Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. He's the true light that came into this world. And Jesus said to follow that light. Can I say it this way? To walk in that light, using the terminology of 1 John chapter 1. To follow the light, to follow Jesus Christ, to walk with him, is to have the light of life. Did you get that? Here's what Jesus is saying, and this is a powerful truth. Life without me is darkness. But life with me, it's light. Marriage without me is darkness. Marriage with me is light. Suffering and grief without me, darkness. But with me, light. I spend a lot of time in the hospitals speaking to people who are suffering. I'm thinking right now of some people in our faith family that are really hurting. And when I go in there to encourage them and read some scriptures to them and pray with them, you know what almost every single one of them tells me? They say, Brother Tyler, I'm making it, but only by God's grace. And I can't tell you how many times they've said something like this to me. I don't know how people make it through things like this without the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad that even when you pass through the valley of the shadow, that the light is with you? That God is light. That's the message we've heard to him. He's the one that brings light to our life. Life without him is darkness. You're like a blind man groping about, looking for something to give you meaning and purpose in life, going from money to sex to family to relationship. But to follow Jesus is to walk in the light. That's the message. God is light, and he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. And to walk in the light, to follow Jesus, is to have the light of life. What a message. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to have to hurry. As usual, I'm getting carried away with myself. I apologize. Let's notice verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a sober, serious verse, isn't it? Let's talk secondly about the fellowship we have with him. Not only the message we've heard of him, but the fellowship we have in him. It's very important when you come to 1 John chapter 1 to make a distinction between relationship and fellowship. How many of you know that when it comes to your relationship with God, there is a distinction in your relationship and your fellowship? One has to do with your condition. The other has to do with your conduct. So relationship has to do with our condition. Remember, our natural condition as sinners is enmity with God. John 8:44, we are by nature children of the devil. But that relationship with God, that condition before God is changed the moment we turn from our sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are regenerated. We are born into God's family, adopted into the family of God. And I want you to know that your relationship with God, your place in the family is settled the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Nothing can ever change your relationship with God, your condition before God. John here is not talking about relationship. He's talking about fellowship. Our fellowship has to do with our conduct. Now remember in the Bible that the idea of fellowship has to do with the word common. It means to share in something with someone. And let me use John's metaphor of walking here. That's the metaphor he's using in 1 John 1, light and darkness, walking. To use his metaphor, it means to walk on the same road with Jesus. To walk in the light, to walk with the light, to walk together with Christ. Walking in the light means to walk according to his guidance, to his direction. To walk in darkness, or let me say it this way, to walk in sin, is to walk in things that are contrary to the nature of God. And the Bible says that when I do that, I break fellowship with God. Now, I think we need Amos's verse about fellowship here. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you and I are going to take a trip today, you get in your car, I get in my car, and you want to go to El Paso and I want to go to Dallas, we're going to have a tough time making that journey together, aren't we? We're going in a different direction. Here's what John's saying. If you're going to have fellowship with the God who is light, you cannot walk in darkness. And again, what's walking? It's a repeated spiritual step. It's to take a step in the wrong direction, a step in the direction of sin. He says, Jesus is going the way of light. Jesus is going the way of right. Jesus is going the way of holiness. And if you go with him, you're going to walk in his light. But if you decide to take a step into darkness, he's not coming with you. You can't have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, are you still a part of the family? Yes, praise God. Can anything you do ever change that? No. But will your fellowship be hurt? Will your relationship with him be hurt? Will your intimacy with him be hurt? Sure, it will be. I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, we were making big plans, my dad and I, to go to Lubbock and to watch the Texas Tech versus UT Longhorns game. And our youth group was going to go, as a matter of fact. And I think probably the most expensive youth group activity we ever did, the tickets were $50 a piece. Oh, even in the 90s, that's a lot of money back then. And so we had made our plans. We had bought our tickets. Me and my dad were going to go together. We were going to ride the bus with the church. The other teams were going. We were going to have a great time. Well, there was a physical science test on Friday that was really making me nervous. I was always good in history, good in literature, the math and science I really struggled with. So I said, you know what? If I get a bad grade on this test, my dad may not let me go tomorrow. So you know what I did? Oh, I hate to admit this in church today. Right before the test, I opened the book and I started writing the answers down on the palm of my hand. You other little sinners have done something like that too. Don't give me those judgmental looks before. Well, you know who my principal happened to be that year? Brother Ed Gaiman. Many of you know him. Brother Gaiman just so happened to walk into the room when I was writing those answers on my hand. And he said, "What you writing, Tyler?" And I said, "Nothing, of course." And he came over and looked at my hand and saw that it was answers to the test I was about to take. Well, I got sent to the principal's office, detention. They called my dad, who was a deacon in the church where I went to school. And you know what my dad said, didn't he? Don't you? He said, "Tyler, you can't go to the game. You've cheated. You've messed up. I'm not going to reward you for being a cheater." I mean, he gave me the whole ninth degree. And so I didn't get to go to the game. And I was so mad. I mean, I threw a fit that day. Many of you that had teenagers can remember some of those fits. I threw a fit. "You're the worst dad ever. How could you do this? The crime is way worse than the punishment. And I'm never talking to you again, right? Get out of my room." It's just so disrespectful. Had such a bad attitude about it. Well, the next day came, and my dad got up, and he went to the game. He wasn't missing. He got on the bus and he went to the game, and I was so mad. Listened to the game on the radio. Tech beat Texas that day, and I missed it. And he came back, and I was so mad I still wouldn't talk to him. We went days like that. I wouldn't talk to him, and he wasn't going to budge either. Finally, after 2 or 3 days of living that way, I said, "I can't live this way with my dad anymore." And I went to him, and I said, "Dad, I'm so sorry I cheated. The problem really was mine. Would you forgive me?" And he threw his arms around me and he said, "Of course, son, I'll forgive you." And our fellowship was restored. Now listen, in those 2 or 3 days where I wasn't talking to my dad, Was I out of the family? No. I was still living in the house, still eating the food, still under the roof. Listen, I still had a relationship. But you know what I missed? I missed fellowship. And ladies and gentlemen, the most miserable son or daughter of God is the son or daughter who's in the family but out of fellowship. Fellowship with God is the most wonderful privilege of the sons and daughters of God. Walking in the light with Jesus. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. I know this is Sunday school, but this spoke to my heart. Is there anything in your life taking you out of fellowship with Jesus Christ this morning? Whatever it is not better than Him. It's darkness. And I would implore you today to confess that sin. Give that sin to God and get back in the light. That's where life is. That's where joy is. John notices the fellowship we have with Him. Notice the end of verse 7. How do we have fellowship with God? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. How do we walk with Him? How do we talk with Him? Because thank God we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, haven't we? One more point that we need to make, and we'll make it quickly. Let's notice the cleansing that we receive from Him. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The word confess here is the word homologamen. Hama means same. Laga, the word we get logos from, it means word. It means to say the same word, to say the same thing, to say the same thing about my sin that God says about it. To agree with God. When we're in the darkness, we can get back in the light, but if we're going to get back in the light, we have to take the blame. We have to say, this is darkness, this is sin. And even as Christian people, bring our sins to God and agree with Him about it. And when we accept the blame, God removes the guilt. What does it say when we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That means every single time, faithful and just, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, He puts us back in the light like we had never gone into the darkness. Isn't that wonderful? Steve Carrington often told this principle in RU, and I'll tell this story and I'll be done. He tells a story about one day before church, he had gotten one of his little girls ready and put her in a beautiful white dress and gotten her all cleaned up, given her a bath, put her hair in pigtails. And while the rest of the kids were getting ready and while mom and dad were getting ready, the little girl came in and said, "Dad, can I go outside and play?" And Steve said, "No, honey, you can't go outside and play. It rained last night. There's lots of mud out there. You'll get dirty, and we're about to go to church." Well, he turned his back and went about his way, and you know what that little girl did, don't you? She went out in the front yard, and she got covered with mud. And the way he would tell the story is that she would come back. She came back in, and she was covered with mud from head to toe, tears streaming down her face. "Daddy, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I got dirty." And he said, "What do you think I did that day? Do you think I taught my little girl a lesson and made her go to Sunday school dirty?" He said, "No, that's not what I did. I took that dirty dress off her and put her in a bath and got her clean again. Put her in a brand new pretty dress and put her hair back in pigtails." Why? Because I didn't want anybody at Sunday school to know that she had fallen in the mud. And listen to me today, that's exactly what our God does to us. When we come to our Heavenly Father and we say, "Dad, I've fallen in the dirt. I've been walking in the darkness. I've messed up. And I'm agreeing with you. I'm confessing my sin." You know what Jesus does? He cleanses us, the Bible says. He forgives us. He makes it just as if we had never been in the darkness at all. He says, "You want to walk in the light? You can walk in the light." So what's the message we've heard from Him? God is light. And doesn't He bring light to our life? But we need the cleansing that we receive from Him and the fellowship that we have in Him. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank You for this powerful passage from 1 John chapter 1. It really is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, and we've barely scratched the surface with it today. From time to time in all of our lives, we walk in darkness. From time to time in all of our lives, we all get dirty. And I'm praying that if there's someone here struggling with a stubborn habit or sin, that today they would confess it. They'd get right with You and remember again the great joy that comes from walking in the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.